Support for After All Things comes from the listeners of WSHU, a public radio station serving Connecticut and Long Island. For daily news and culture from around the sound, listen at WSHU.org or download the WSHU app. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Historic flooding in the region causes significant damage in southwestern Connecticut and on Long Island's North Shore. All the latest on the aftermath of yesterday's storm is ahead this episode and more. I'm Sabrina Garone. In Oxford, Connecticut, yesterday's historic flash flooding killed two women, devastated homes and businesses, and caused extensive damage to roadways. Governor Ned Lamont has declared a state of emergency in response. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
George Temple is the first selectman of Oxford. He says the women were residents who were swept away in two separate incidents involving cars trying to wade through the rushing flash flood on the Little River.
I don't think our town is used to flash floods, and a lot of people did the absolute wrong thing, which was try to drive through without knowing what was on the other side. But our prayers and thoughts go out to the families of these two women.
Governor Lamont says his emergency declaration will expedite state resources to help.
We have to hang together at a time like this, especially given the tragedy.
He says the state is also seeking a federal emergency declaration to secure federal assistance for the affected towns, homeowners, and businesses. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
And on Long Island, last night's flash floods and road washouts prompted Suffolk County officials to also declare a state of emergency. WSHU's Desiree Diorio reports.
Suffolk County police say Mill Pond in Stony Brook overflowed, causing part of Harbor Road to collapse. At least six homes were evacuated. Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine held a briefing at the site.
Mill Pond is gone. Six houses along here are damaged. Their cesspools, personal belongings are now floating down this creek into the Sound.
Stony Brook University canceled move-in day. Romaine says 150 students have been displaced from their dorms. State authorities briefly closed part of the Long Island Expressway and Route 25 in Dix Hills due to floods. Parts of the county received almost 10 inches of rain overnight. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
Guests were evacuated from an upscale event venue in Monroe, Connecticut during yesterday's flooding as a sinkhole opened on the venue's property. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
The Waterview sits on the banks of Lake Zoar. It's got a beautiful lawn for outdoor weddings with white columns and colorful rows of flowers. But just a few yards away, a huge sinkhole has formed on the lawn, opening up onto the lake. Co-owner John Royce takes in the damage with landscapers.
That storm was one in 200, one in 1,000 years.
He says the pressure from the water overloaded a pipe, causing it to burst.
It was like a giant fire hose, and water finds its least resistance, and it was right near the lake. So it easily just blew out the side of the hill and drained itself into the lake.
Two events were going on inside the building at the time. No one was injured, but dozens of people were evacuated, and the events were canceled.
And we're getting new dates for these people so that they can celebrate them. But we didn't know if the structure of the building was compromised. And after having everyone out here today, the building is just fine.
Royce says the Waterview will remain open for business despite the sinkhole. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Young people in New Haven are taking climate change into their own hands. That story is ahead. First, a message from our supporter.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
more flooding is possible for southern Connecticut this evening, as weather officials are predicting isolated thunderstorms as well as strong winds. The heaviest rain is expected for New Haven County, which saw some of the worst of the flooding yesterday. You might be able to catch a glimpse of a rare blue supermoon in the region this evening through early Wednesday, although experts say this one may actually appear more reddish thanks to wildfire smoke from the Pacific Northwest. Clouds and rain could also impact the visibility for tonight. New York Governor Kathy Hochul met with Nassau County officials last week to discuss the future of the troubled Nassau University Medical Center. The state could place a temporary hospital operator. A recent audit found that the current operator ran a $142 million deficit last year. Connecticut residents can buy some items this week without having to pay the state's sales and use tax. WSHU's Janice Roman reports.
The tax exemption applies to the purchase of clothing and footwear under $100. It applies for both in-person and online retailers. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz says the sales tax-free week is a chance for families to shop for back-to-school needs.
Parents and caregivers will have the opportunity to start their kids off right for the school year. So I want to encourage Connecticut residents to take advantage.
Bicewicz says the exemption applies to each eligible item regardless of how many of those items are sold to a customer. Residents can visit the Department of Revenue's website for more information about the qualifying purchases. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Climate change spares no part of the earth, but for young climate activists, learning to adapt and reform their local community has helped ease a sense of panic and lessen the burden of a changing planet. It's part two of the conversation with WSHU's Ebong Udama and Connecticut Mirror reporter Jan Ellen Spiegel. It's all part of the podcast, Long Story Short.
You've done some research into how climate change is affecting young people. And you spent some time with a group called the New Haven Climate Movement. What is the New Haven Climate Movement?
The New Haven Climate Movement is a group that a number of people directed me towards when I was looking around for young people, teenagers in particular, who were sort of taking matters into their own hands vis-a-vis climate change and not just out there whining about it. We're actually doing something. So that's how I got to the New Haven Climate Movement in the first place. They were an offshoot of another organization that had a small climate component, but was mostly adult at the time. It was a sister city operation in New Haven. And getting adults out to deal with some of the climate issues that related to the sister city thing, they couldn't count on him. So the guy who was running at the time decided, well, let's get some young people. And those guys turned out to be really reliable. And the New Haven Climate Movement as a young person's organization really grew from that point. This was around 2019. This is not all that new.
Well, just a few years now. Mainly they were recruiting from high school students?
It's mainly high school, yes. And the many things that struck me about this group was that the bulk of them were high school students. Some over the years since 2019 have gone on to college. A couple have even finished college and did manage to stick with it. But they were not just an organization, oh, let's run around, make untenable demands, make big signs, scream at the alders in New Haven for 20 minutes and go home. That is not what they do.
What exactly were they doing differently? That seems
they were doing all the hard work, and they were doing policy ideas, super well-researched policy ideas, coming up with very sophisticated suggestions and different types of requests to both the New Haven alders and to the school board in New Haven, asking for very specific climate type actions, both educationally and citywide in terms of cutting back emissions, in terms of on the school end, what was taught in school, getting money to fund certain positions. They were testifying constantly, either before the Board of Alders or with the Education Department. They had a fairly sophisticated structure within the overall structure in that there was an education committee and there was a couple of broader committees. And as different initiatives ran their course, they would move on to something else.
How did they get to be taken seriously by the board? Because it seems as if initially the feeling was that they'd just be blown off because, you know, they're kids, what do they know?
Well, I hear it two different ways. One, I mean, that was what I expected. And I sat in on a couple of meetings with Board of Ed folks and listened to them. They were not blown off, that's for sure. And what I hear from both the young people and the superintendent of schools even is that we want to hear from kids. These are the people who are in the schools. You know, we will take them seriously. And they were not presenting completely pie in the sky type demands. These were well thought out, well researched proposals. I'll give you an example. One of the things there was, the Board of Alders approved a climate resolution back in 2019, and then the school department did an education-based one in 2022. I'll give you two examples, really. One in there was looking at educational components and how climate change is taught, and was also trying to get some additional positions and the money to fund those positions. The money is not there to fund those positions, but it looks like they will get one of the three positions they wanted, which was a grant writer. Now, these kids were like, yeah, let's get the grant writer because the grant writer is going to get the money and we can do more. And they're willing to take that as a step ahead and work with that. And that is just it's a very level-headed, sophisticated way of making arguments. I'll give you another example. The education group, again, and to some degree the larger organization, has really refocused on how transportation fits into climate. And one of the things the education group really wants is free bus passes for students. There's a little bit of money from the state coming to New Haven and Hartford for high school kids and free bus passes. They are collaborating with the folks who are getting the money up in Hartford to see if they can't trade ideas. They are talking to larger transportation groups within the state for help doing this. These are, for the most part, high school students with a lot on their plate, a lot on their mind. Many of them have applied to and gotten into college in the process of doing all this, which is not nothing. That takes a lot of work.
Thank you so much, Jan.
You are welcome.
Jan Ellen Spiegel is the Connecticut Mirror's regular freelance environment and energy reporter. I'm Ebon Udama.
Thank you for listening to After All Things, supported by Hartford HealthCare. For more stories from the Long Island Sound region, listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. That's also where you can get more great podcasts from WSHU, like Long Story Short, or listen wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas to share with us, our email is news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.